This is the Single Parent Society podcast. I am your host, Daniel. Today we are on with Kelly, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Kelly has submitted her story and we're going to post it ASAP. I was wondering, Kelly, if you could send me a picture to my email.
Sure.
So I can put a picture up with it. It doesn't have to be like a face forward picture if you don't want to. It can be any picture, really, just something kind of showing who you are and a little bit of your story, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we are talking with you today. So you are a psychotherapist.
Yes.
And you have built a thriving practice after a pretty traumatic event.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess events, I guess plural.
Yeah, there was quite a few.
But there seemed to be one kind of significant one that really set everything off and kind of put you into gear to kind of change your life, correct?
Yes. So it was really August of 2014. I had been in an abusive marriage, and there was I had never been physically abused by him up to that point. But it was a very slow but consistent escalation. And in August of 2014, that was the first time that he really had physically threatened me. And then there were a couple other events that were escalating until there was one particular one, which was really just, I guess I'll call it the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, it was the last thing that I could deal with. And he had a butcher knife and was walking around the house just in an absolute rage for about 2.5 hours one night, and threatened to kill me in front of my daughter and threw objects at me. You know, the entire event lasted for about 2.5 to 3 hours, and it ended with him throwing punches next to my head. After that, I planned for 6 weeks and then left.
Wow. That's quite a story. So when you say punches next to your head, was he just like air punching, or did he hit something?
Just air punching.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can imagine how scary that must be.
It was terrifying because he's twice my size. So.
Yeah. You know, and you were holding your daughter, correct?
At that point during the event, I had put her back in her bed. I was holding her earlier during that particular event.
Okay. Okay. So how have you used that experience to better yourself? Because it seems like you've really taken it and gone in the opposite direction of what some people would do. You know, I feel like a lot of people, when they go through traumatic events, it's a very heavy grieving process, mm-hmm. and even quite possibly repetition of the same behavior.
Sure.
And so how did you overcome that and become who you are today?
Well, one of the biggest things that I would say, there's actually 2 points in this, is to really that I needed to take a hard, long look at myself and get really honest with what I needed to be accountable to. And that's, especially working as a therapist, that's something that I find a lot of people really struggle with. You know, I struggled with that so much for a very long time, of really just being able to say, okay, well, what do I actually need to be accountable to? What parts of this relationship do I have some serious ownership in? And what do I need to do differently in my life in order to make sure that this never happens again? Especially because I have a little girl who's looking up to me, and I am the first example that she's ever going to have of what it is to be a woman moving through this world. So within that, the kind of my two-part answer is the lesson to never paint red flags white. That was the biggest thing that I had to really step up to and be honest about, of that there were red flags in my relationship with my ex-husband from the very beginning, before we even got married. And I dismissed them, I minimized them, I made excuses for them. I did everything that was in my power to do to justify why things were okay, when they absolutely were not. You know, and this is this idea of painting red flags white is something that I find, again, as a therapist, that so many people get caught up in, and we just struggle to get out of our own way.
Definitely. Now, how do you tell what's a red flag and what may be your own personal overreaction towards something? Like, so give me an example of what was a red flag and then something that's similar that's harmless.
So one of the very first things that he had ever done was we were goofing around, roughhousing as any couple can at times when we were dating. And mind you, like, I was in my early 20s, so, and I was about as naive as they come in my early 20s. You know, I really had not had any other dating experiences. He was my first true, actual, serious relationship. And so I thought everything was fine. But we were sitting on the couch one day, goofing around, totally joking, and he gave me an Indian burn. And broke my watch in the process of that because he did it on top of my watch. And I was really upset with him. You know, I could dismiss and kind of be okay with, okay, we shouldn't have been goofing around the way that we were, and that I had ownership in that as well. But that he looked at me and said, well, if you hadn't started it, I wouldn't have done that. And so there's a red flag of, you know, when somebody isn't willing to take ownership of their behavior and they put it on you as, well, if you didn't do this, then I wouldn't have had to do that. Mm-hmm. Then that's, it can start so subtly, and it's easy to overlook it if you're not cautious about it, versus like, so something that could just be an overreaction. I would say, like, you know, if somebody bumps into you and you freak out about it, you know, like, so many people can be hypersensitive to a lot of different things. But if somebody just isn't watching where they're going, if they're like in their own little world, texting on their phone or whatever, and they accidentally knock into you, that's really an unintentional thing. But somebody placing blame on you for something that they actually did and that they made an intentional decision to do, that's a red flag.
Okay. So your daughter is 6 and a half, I guess,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she's actually born around the same time as my oldest.
Oh, cool.
So I was reading that, so I thought that was pretty cool. And so it seems like, I mean, you wrote it really well in your story, and I can't wait to post it so people can read it, because I already can think of a few single parents who will definitely benefit from it. Because I have a lot of chats with people in DMs. I find mm-hmm. a lot of people contact me randomly, and we have just a lot of conversations. One of my big things is that if people are in crisis, to feel free to message me. You know, it doesn't matter what time of day, it doesn't matter anything. If I am available to answer, I will. And I've had quite a few conversations with them, including yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But what is, as a psychotherapist and as a single mom, you have just such great insight. What is some advice that you could give to someone who's just become a single parent after maybe going through similar circumstances as yourself?
Two things. You absolutely have to take time to grieve, and you absolutely have to take good care of yourself. This is something that I find, I think this is true for fathers just as much as it is for mothers. I think it just shows up in a different way because our roles are different. But self-care is absolutely of utmost importance. And I find that it's one of the things that we resist the most because most people feel like they're selfish when they're doing it. I've learned over the last 5 years. So my daughter was a year and a half when I left. She's 6 and a half now. And over the last 5 years of being on my own, like I'm not in a relationship, I'm doing life by myself and it's fine. I cherish the time that I have away from her. And the reason for that is that that is my time to really just focus on myself, to rest and recharge, so that when I go back to that mom role, I can be the best mom that I'm equipped to be. And if we don't give ourselves enough permission to kind of sit in that place of, it's okay to have selfish behavior at times, as long as you don't let your ego get involved to make you a selfish person. They're two different things.
Yeah.
Then it's really, that's so necessary in terms of figuring out how to manage being a single parent. But then in terms of grieving, you know, I think coming out of any kind of relationship, there's a bit of a grief period that we all have to move through. But in being able to recover from trauma, it can be really confusing and very convoluted at times. You want to grieve for the marriage itself. You want to grieve for the loss of the partner. You want to grieve for the loss of the idea of who you thought that person was or who you wanted them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's grieving for the connection, you know, and that's even 5 years later, that's still something that I find myself struggling with at times, because it's like a wave. It's just going to come in and go back out. You know, it's not something that's always there, but it just kind of comes and goes. That when you feel that loneliness, that's when that grief starts to come back up.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely relate to that. So doubling, heading back to your statement about selfish behavior, mm-hmm. partially being okay and just giving ourselves, I have a really hard time with that. I spent a lot of time protecting my children
mm-hmm.
to the point where now it's kind of a reflex.
Sure.
And I don't mean in like a positive way. I almost feel like I can't be in certain circumstances because I'm in such protective mode that I can't enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because I have three. And I have three young ones, and my youngest is a wild card. Okay. You know, he's charismatic, he's sweet, he's funny, but he's also the kid that will run away and not pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
He's the child that will climb something and fall and get hurt. Like, he's just wild. And so it keeps me in this, like, hyper-vigilant mode.
Sure.
You know, not only that, you know, when we do have visits with their mom, you know, I'm on guard the whole time waiting for something to happen. So it's kind of put a damper on the fun that I want to have.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you tell someone who's been in a situation like I have, where there just doesn't seem to be an off switch for the protective mode, which then leaks into the fact that I feel uncomfortable taking time away from my children. You know, I find it very hard, very, very hard to take time away from them.
Sure.
And even when I do, I have that, you know, obnoxious parent guilt that everyone mm-hmm. has. You know, like how do I have fun without my kids and be okay with that?
I think it's a constant dance inside all of our heads of figuring out how to navigate that. You know, I mean, I'm certainly no expert in navigating that in my own life. And I think it's a really subjective experience that we have to constantly work on fine tuning. You know, there's like this weekend, this past weekend was the first time that I had a weekend 100% to myself in over a month. And I was so excited about it because I knew that I needed the time to just be alone for a little while, because I had my daughter for 3 weekends in a row, and then I went on a brief trip with some friends 2 weekends ago. So being able to sit at home, sleep in, wear my pajamas around my house all day and just do nothing sounded amazing. And then I ended up being so sad all weekend because I just missed my kid.
Mm-hmm.
But then this coming weekend, I don't have her again. because my ex and I had changed our schedule. Normally we do every other. And since I had her for 3 weekends, now he's having her for 3 weekends. So I'm kid free again this coming weekend. And I have some plans to go do something by myself. You know, I live in Connecticut. And so I'm going to drive up to Salem probably this coming Saturday and just go walk around in Salem, Mass to celebrate Halloween, right?
My kids just went to Salem.
That's awesome. But I'm going to do it 100% by myself. And I'm so excited, you know, so sometimes I think part of the answer is really having some concrete plans to give ourselves mm-hmm. something to look forward to. And then being able to just really practice leaning into giving ourselves permission that this is okay. And we are allowed, we should be doing things by ourselves sometimes, or we should be getting together with close friends or potential partners or whoever else away from our children so that we have time to just be adults, be individuals, and then come back to our kids in a whole really centered state.
No, that makes absolute sense. Well, I hope you enjoy Salem, Massachusetts. I'm actually not even that far from there because I'm in Massachusetts. So it just sounds like really good advice. Now, you have, is it a blog?
So I have a website for my business, okay. The Anapology Project, where I'm a life coach, nutrition coach, and personal trainer.
Okay, cool. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that and maybe say your Instagram handle and the website address and all that stuff? Just plug yourself away.
Absolutely. So I specialize in female empowerment. I work with purpose-driven women to help them find their voice and kind of get their mojo back, so to speak. You can find me on Instagram at unapologetically.authentic. And on Facebook, you can either follow me as Kelly Lynch or come to my business page, The Unapology Project. And you can hop over to my website, www.theunapologyproject.com, and hang out with me there too.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining me tonight.
No problem.
You know, I'd definitely love to have you on again so we can talk more and maybe we can get some more single parents, you know, as like a Q&A.
Sure, yeah.
Psychotherapy stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
So we can talk about that for sure. But again, this is the Single Parent Society podcast. You can find us at www.singleparentsociety.com or on Instagram at Single Parent Society. Sorry for laying like this. I usually do my podcast in my bed because I'm far too lazy to be anywhere else. This is like my me time.
I get it.
So thank you very much, and we'll talk soon.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Have a good one.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.